Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. I want you, please, to turn in your Bibles again. Now, some of you, this would be maybe your first time, but turn in your Bibles again to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. And we weren't here last Sunday, but Sunday 2 weeks ago, I ministered concerning the elders, ministers, those that are in leadership position or in ministry. And I encourage you to go back and watch it on YouTube, Facebook, or you can go to our webpage and listen to it. Praise the name of the Lord. But folks, I want, please hear me. Do I have your attention? Please hear me. The time is very, very short. You know, Jesus himself prophesied many things that would be taking place on the earth before his return. And one of the things that he prophesied that would be happening would be earthquakes. Earthquakes are not the only thing, but say there would be earthquakes in different places around the world. Jesus prophesied this. How many of you know if Jesus said it, it's going to happen? Yeah, it's going to happen. And so there was a terrible earthquake in Morocco, and thousands of people been killed because of that earthquake. Now, Jesus said this was going to happen in different places throughout the years. And one thing is a sign of the end times. It's a sign of the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a sign of the end. But listen to me real, real good. I hope you're hearing me. God is preparing himself a people to represent him in these last days. Did you hear me? Just in case you missed it the first time, let me say it again. God is preparing himself a people for the last days. But understand something. He can't prepare us unless we cooperate with him. Amen. Isn't it amazing how God won't make us do anything? He'll tell us what the consequences are if we do it. And we see that all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Certain things we do or say, there are consequences that follow. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. And so we have to choose to obey God and to do what he tells us to do. And it's for our benefit and for his glory. Now, do you have 1 Peter chapter 5? Hallelujah. Now, again, last week I ministered concerning the first four verses. I'll just read the first four verses and then we'll go on into verse 5. Says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God. He's talking to pastors especially. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. In other words, be willing to serve, and not for money, but because you love God and you want to obey God. Verse 3 says, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now that's what I ministered on 2 weeks ago. But now I want to go in, and I'm not necessarily ministering this verse by verse, but I want you to notice something here that is very, very important to us today. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see that? Folk, can I tell you something? I've been in ministry a lot of years. Been pastoring this church 37 of those years, but I was in ministry before I began to pastor this church. And one thing that I have observed that ministers, all of us ministers, have to be real careful about, and that is pride. Do you hear me? Pride. Because whatever anointing we have, God gave it to us. Whatever gift we possess, God gave it to us. And therefore, we must be careful that we give Him the glory and the honor. And we must be careful that we don't use our gift and our calling and our ministry to abuse God's flock. Amen. Those of us that are pastors have been called to be overseers of the flock of God, not abusers of the flock of God, but overseers of the flock of God and examples to the flock of God. Yes, God gives us spiritual authority. We have to have that. We have to have that. To do our jobs. Amen. But it's not to abuse and kick folk around. No, it's to be a blessing to them, to oversee them as shepherds, and to watch out for the wolves. Amen. But look what verse 5 says in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. It says, likewise, you younger people. Now, let me say something here before we proceed on. Younger people can be young in age, physical age, but it also can be younger spiritually. You hear me? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. If you want to get confusion going in the church, let the devil stir up a few people that you just want to keep something going. I don't like what he said. I don't like what she said. Blah, blah, blah. You know, just got something going all the time. And then there's confusion and then there's strife. And guess what? It grieves the Holy Spirit. And he cannot move the way he want to. Can I say something? I'm talking to me. I'm talking about me. God forbid that I ever do anything or say anything that drives someone away from God or that keeps them from receiving their healing for their body or keeps them from coming to Jesus and being born again. I understand. Now, we're not men pleasers. Don't get me wrong. We're not men pleasers or people pleasers. You can't be that. You got a mess when you start doing that. Amen. You got a mess when you start doing that. But I have to constantly look at my own life and what I do and what I say. I pray about what I do and pray about what I say because I want to bring people to Christ. I want to see them saved. I want to see them healed. I want to see them delivered. And that should be the heart of every minister. That doesn't make you a people pleaser. Jesus wasn't a people pleaser. One time, a whole multitude of people walked away from him after he preached. And then he looked at his disciples and said, "You boys going too?" And Peter, as he often did, spoke up, and he was right. He said, "Lord, where can we go? Where else is there eternal life? Life is in you, Jesus. We ain't going nowhere." Amen. 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 So you're always going to have those folks that's going to reject what you say. It happened to Jesus, so you know it's going to happen to us too. They're not going to let you step on a few toes. They're not going to like it. But you do it in the spirit of love and preaching the uncompromised word of God. As a minister, we should never be out to get anybody. I got the bully pulpit. I can't wait till Sunday. I'm going to tell them what I think. If they don't get it, I'm going to go down and prophesy to them. No, that ain't the way you do it. We're called to preach the word of God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
But, those that are hearing are to receive the word of God. Be respectful. How many of you know you need to respect those over you? And not just ministers, not just preachers. You know what? You need to respect your elders that are older than you in age. Amen. Respect those that are older than us. Matter of fact, I just read it. We're to submit to one another, right? Amen. I respect every one of you. Those of you that's older than me, amen, and that's getting less and less all the time. Amen, the older I get. But I respect those that are older than me. I respect those my age. But you know what? I respect the young folk too. Everybody deserves respect. These young people deserve respect. Praise God. We are to submit to one another. Be respectful to one another. Love one another. Do what we can do to be a blessing to each other. Is there one more amen out here somewhere?
Amen.
Glory to God. So it's, let me read verse 5 again. So it says, "Be likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and clothed with humility." Hallelujah. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a humble church. It's not all about us, not all about me. Me, 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 me. No. He's coming back for a humble church, a church that the people respect each other. They love each other. Amen. Here's the good thing. God loves those that only have $5 or maybe have nothing just as much as he loved those that have billions. Same God. He loves us all. Hallelujah. Now, men gonna treat you different. If you don't have much, men want to treat you different. Mankind want to treat you different. God's not going to do that. God loves you whether you have plenty or whether you have nothing. He loves you. And I tell you what, if you stand on his word, he'll change your situation. Amen. You're still here. Now, just hold your place there at 1 Peter, but let's flip backwards to the book of James, and he's saying essentially the same thing. I just want to read it to you in the book of James. I'll begin reading in verse 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, it's talking about with each other, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Listen to this. Adulterers and adulteresses, that's male and female, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But look at verse 6. But he gives what? More grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he goes on to say, now listen. He goes on to say, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does verse 8 say? It says what? Draw. Say it again. Draw. One more time. Draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. He ain't talking about the unbelievers here. He's talking about Christians. Well, let me clarify that. He's talking about sinning Christians. Willingly sinning. So he said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. I'll stop there at verse 8. Listen. We must walk in the word of God. We must abide by the word of God. Brother Tony and I was talking earlier this morning, and one thing we must do as ministers, we must preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. You hear me? The whole counsel of God. Amen. What do you mean the whole counsel of God? All of it. If it's in the Bible, we need to preach it. We need to preach it. We need to teach it. If it's in the Bible, praise the name of the Lord. Why? Because it's for our good. Now, as a child, now I'm not like that anymore, but as a child, there's certain foods I couldn't stand. I just hated them with a passion. And usually the foods that we hate is the one that's the best for us. You ever notice that? Now, ice cream, candy bars, cookies, all that. Oh, I love that. Couldn't get much of it because we couldn't afford it. But whenever I could, man, I got me a little job, and I started working. And guess what I spent my money on? Candy, ice cream, and cookies, and comic books. Comic books. Some of y'all don't know what comic books are. I had a stack of comic, when I went into the military, I had a stack of comic books this high. I left home, I don't know what happened to my comic books. My sister can't seem to remember what happened to my comic books. But they would be very valuable today if I had them, you know. But that's how I spent my money. But I didn't, when it comes to certain foods, I didn't eat them. I didn't want to eat them. Spinach was one of them. You couldn't pay me to eat spinach. They'd give us spinach at school during lunch, and I wouldn't eat it. I'd just leave it on my plate. But you know what? I needed to eat it because it was good for me. It had the nutrients in it that was good for my body. Y'all still with me? Amen. It had what I needed. Cookies and ice cream didn't. Get you hyped up. But guess what? There are things in the Word of God that don't feel good, don't taste good, but it's what we need. When the Word of God tells us as believers, don't do this and don't do that, and I don't preach a gospel of don't. I just preach the Word of God. Like I said earlier, I just want to preach the whole counsel of God. But there are certain things that we have to deal with in life. Why do I say that? Because we're still in our earthen bodies. This flesh, blood and bone body, and this body, we have to keep it in subjection. We have to control it. We cannot allow it to control us. Amen. I'm trying to remember an old song I learned in church as a child, and it's not coming to me now. I'm working on my building or something like that. Do that ring? I'm not hearing you. There's a leak in this building. No, now that I remember that one, that's not the one. But in other words, what they were saying is, you know, I'm working down here, and there's another one. I don't think it's the same song, but they call it sending up timber. Thinking what? But anyway, don't worry about it. But in other words, what they were saying is, I'm working down here to please God because it's gonna benefit me greatly on the other side. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's going to benefit me greatly on the other side. Sometimes we can get so tied up with this side that we forget to live for God on the other side. You know, we say, Lord, and let me be the first to say, I totally believe God wants us to prosper because the Word of God says it. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Word of God plainly states that He wants us to prosper. Amen, and have our needs met. But come on, you know, as God bless us and prosper us down here, we have to understand, yes, thank God, but this is temporary. This is temporary. Everything I own right now is temporary. When Jesus come back, I'm leaving it. And anybody that stays, that don't go, hate to say it that way, but not everybody's going when Jesus catch him away. You can have my stuff. I'm not going to need it. Amen. Yes, we should walk in faith, standing on God's word. He is faithful. He will meet our needs if we do his word and abide by his word and walk in faith. But our goal should be to please him with our lives. Because one day we're going to be over into eternity and we will be rewarded for our works done here. And we can't say, oh, Lord, my goodness, send me back because I need this and some things I need to do that I should have done. Oh, nope, too late. Look at somebody and say, God's getting us ready. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He says, follow, this is, you don't have to turn that, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it's the first chapter, first verse. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Or another way of saying it, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What he was saying is, I am a leader, imitate me. But I like the way he phrased that, as I imitate Christ. See, we shouldn't be blind followers of anybody. Come on. You don't follow anybody blindly because people are human, they can make mistakes. But you follow them as they follow Christ, or you imitate them as they imitate Christ. We as preachers and teachers, we are supposed to set the example of how you should live and how you should walk. But never lose track of the fact that all of us right now are in human bodies. Anybody ever had somebody to get on your last nerve? Raise your hand if you... And you felt like it was your last nerve, put it this way. Come on, now y'all trying to be all holy. Now, see, y'all need to go ahead and be honest. How many, you just had some folks that okay. But thank you for being honest. But now, listen, it happens to all of us. Sometimes people can just aggravate you, but you got to be careful how you react there. Okay, but... if you lose it, be quick to repent. Everybody say, quick to repent.
Quick to repent.
Amen. And if you happen to see a leader lose it, you say, I follow him or her, but that doesn't line up with the word of God. We ain't doing that. We ain't going that way. We're not going to treat that person the way he or she treated that person. Amen. That's the reason we teach you the word of God and minister to you the word of God, so that you can do like the word say, receive the milk of the word of God and do what? Grow. Amen. Grow. But God doesn't want you to give his leaders a hard time. And anybody else for that matter. Let me read this from the Amplified Version of the Bible. This is verse 5. It says, likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, you see that? Be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility, as a garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all still with me? Y'all hadn't gone home yet, right? I want to read you something. Well, I've quoted this to you already anyway, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I quoted it to you earlier. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I would underline that in my Bible if I was you, or highlight it. Praise the name of the Lord. Give me about 5 more minutes. Can y'all do that? Amen. Who will give me 5 minutes? Raise your hand. Who will give me 5 minutes? Raise your hand. All right. Keep your hands up. Come on. Keep your hands up. Praise God. Y'all got to cooperate with me today. 5 more minutes, right? Right? Okay. 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm playing with you. My wife says I'm a mess. Hallelujah. But I am getting ready to close, but I want to say this to you. Listen, this is so very important. When you humble yourself before God, you become teachable, you cooperate for the glory of God, because you love God. Guess what happened? And you don't overestimate yourself. You don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
The Word of God warns us about that. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. Stay humble. Now, when you humble yourself before God, you put yourself in a position for promotion. Did you hear me? When you're willing to be humble and you cooperate, work with your leaders, love God, you place yourself in a position for promotion. What you talking about, preacher? Now, when I say promotion, most of you probably thought, oh, glory to God. Yeah, I need a promotion on my job. Well, it could be that. But how many of you know God gives promotion in the body of Christ? Amen? Sometimes, God wants to move you up to another position in his body or in the ministry. If you're in the ministry, God wants to move you up to another level. Let me tell you something. When God promotes you, that brings him glory. Because now he has a person that he can place in a certain position to serve him and reach more souls, change more lives. Are you listening to me? Sometimes, though, we don't get promoted because of us, not because of God. You hear me? All right, now I want us to go to one more reference, then I'm going to let you go. Turn to Psalm 75, the 75th Psalm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You there yet?
Yeah.
Psalm 75. I'm going to begin reading. I'll just pick it up at verse 5. It says, do not lift your horn. Excuse me. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. Y'all see that? Do not speak with a stiff neck. In other words, I'm all that, man. I'm this, I'm that. No. Verse 6. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Notice how that's written. Let me read it to you again. They have it on the screen. Exalt on the screen here. Exaltations come neither from the east, west, nor from the south. You notice north is absent. You ever thought about that? We consider God's throne to be in the north. And verse 7 says, but God is the judge. Listen here. He puts down one and exalts another. You see that? He demotes one and promotes another. And it's our own attitude that will determine our promotion or the lack thereof. Now, we can compare spiritual things with natural things. On our jobs, if we always giving the boss a hard time, always coming in late, and then when you get there, won't have work. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've seen that? You know? And then when you don't get the promotion you're looking for, you're all upset, you're angry, you're mad at your supervisor. But you haven't looked back over your own life, your own work, and found that, wait a minute, I wouldn't come in on time and wouldn't work when I got here. I have work. That's the reason I didn't get the promotion. Well, that's natural. But you can carry that over into the spiritual as well. God needs people he can use, but he needs people that he can count on. He needs people that will be diligent to study his word. Listen to me. Study his word. Amen. Get full of his word, but also people that are faithful. What did Paul say? God, this is Apostle Paul, he said, God found me faithful. What's the rest of it? Anybody know? Placing me in the ministry. That's what the Apostle Paul said. God found me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Well, you know what? I wish they would use me here in the church. I wish they would use me there. I just want the, you know, okay, but are you faithful? Jesus says, he that is faithful over little, he will put him over much. If you're not willing to pick up a piece of paper off the floor in church, let somebody else do that. That's beneath me. No. Wrong attitude. I don't care who you are. Reach down and pick it up. Because do you know this church, this is God's church? It ain't mine. I'm the pastor here, but it's not my church. It belongs to the Lord. You know how we build it? God supplied everything we need to build this church through tithes and through offering. And yes, again, tithe and offering. Is how we built this church, is how we paid for this church. And it is paid for. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? I can't take credit for that. I got to give God the glory for that. Amen? So this is God's house. Well, this is God's facility, however you want to say it. But you know what? If there's paper on the floor, something need to be done in God's house, we should be willing to do it. We should be willing to do it. I said, we should be willing to do it. Because, now, you know, if somebody's, human nature is, yeah, if pastor's watching, a first lady or somebody else in the church is looking, oh yeah, I'm gonna pick that up because I want them to see me pick it up. Well, you know, it, you really get your reward because God see you. We can only be one place at a time. Amen.
Amen.
Didn't I tell you I was going to let y'all go? And I meant it too. Praise God. So it's God that promotes. You know, this folks have said, well, you know, Pastor, I've been wanting to go into the ministry and just seem like nothing's working out for me. Just seem, well, my first question was is, Are you being faithful? For the first question is, are you called? If you're going into the fivefold ministry, first question is, are you called? Yeah, I believe with all my heart that God has called me into the fivefold ministry. But I just no doors won't open for me. Or my next question is, are you being faithful where you are? Are you being faithful in small things? Amen. I got to let y'all go because I'm sensing that some of you getting hungry and you're tuning me out. Amen. Kathy and I drove up from Columbia this morning. We had to get up early to get here. So, because we were going to miss service 2 weeks in a row. Praise God. So, we could use some rest too and probably some food too. But this spiritual food is more important than our natural food. I'm closing, I really am, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to leave you with this. When you don't have money, or whatever it is you may be lacking in, make sure you get the Word of God on the inside of you. Because the Word of God in you and faith in that Word will bring you what you need in your life. I'm a living witness, folks. My wife and I, we are living witnesses. There are times when all we had was the Word of God. And we stood on God's Word. We had faith in God's Word. We lived God's Word. We were givers. Because God says He'll take nothing and make something out of it. Oh, isn't God good? Give the Lord a shout of praise, will you? Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, for taking those of us who are nothing.